This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davey Proven and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time for your call, your opinion, your say on Scottish football. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Jim Duffy, Gordon DL and Jim Delahunt.
Wednesday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard as Celtic look to break a 92-year-old record for league shutouts against Kilmarnock tonight. We'll also look ahead to Hearts against St Mirren and Morton against Queen of the South in the rearranged match in the Championship.
Number one for football across Glasgow and the West, powered by the Scottish Sun. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Call 0141 951 1025.
A very good evening to you. Welcome along to Clyde One Super Scoreboard this Wednesday evening. Jim Duffy and Gordon DL with me, Jim Delahunt, tonight. Taking your calls on 01419511025. Busy night of football. Celtic against Kilmarnock. Hearts playing St Mirren tonight as well in the Premiership and in the Championship. That match, which was abandoned due to rather tragic circumstances on Saturday, being replayed tonight. Free entry at Capello, Morton against Queen of the South. Also a big night down south. A lot of games played last night, but four more in the Premier League tonight. Aston Villa at home to West Brom. Chelsea are facing West Ham. Sunderland against Stoke. And Spurs against Manchester City. I suspect, Gordon DL, probably the big one.
Oh, massive, Jim. Great opportunity that if Manchester City win tonight, it puts them top of the league. And I think if they go top of the league, they will not come off top spot because I think they will go on and win it. If they don't win tonight and Chelsea win, then Chelsea could be top of the league. And if neither of them win, Arsenal stay top of the league. So it's so tight down there. And Arsenal slipped up last night 2-2 at Southampton. But Manchester City away at Tottenham tonight, who are well banging for them, Jim, you've got to say. But I just fancy the Blues to be too strong.
And here in Scotland tonight, Jim Duffy will head for Celtic Park very shortly indeed. But Celtic against Kilmarnock, and it's really all about the shutout record for Celtic and their goalkeeper, Fraser Forster.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extraordinary run of clean sheets, Jim. I mean, people always say, well, you know, it's a weakened league this year. But it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, you've seen teams winning comfortably but losing a goal, you know, even just the odd goal. But it hasn't happened, and you know, I think it's a fantastic record and one to be proud of if you're a defender and particularly a goalkeeper in Fraser Forster. So, no, it's the other side of the football that doesn't maybe get too much praise. But as obviously as a former defender, I think it takes an awful lot of concentration to make sure you keep clean sheets. And Celtic, great credit to them for that.
And the thing is, Jim, they're up against what I would obviously say is the best goal scorer in Scotland.
Well, statistically, he is.
Yeah, he is. He's a terrific goal scorer. And if they get the 10 clean sheets tonight and Fraser Forster keeps him out, then congratulations, Jim Duffy's right. 10 clean sheets is absolutely a fantastic achievement. And Fraser Forster will be very proud of that, as will the team, because it is a team game, Jim. And I'm sure he'll put a lot of praise on his back for it as well.
And we are, of course, talking about Chris Boyd.
An excellent win at the weekend, and they've really had a resurgence. You know, I know they got off to a poor start, but you know, Alan has really steadied them, and they've had some really positive results of late. But we're at home, so we want to, you know, take the game to Kilmarnock as much as we can, and try and limit them, and particularly Chris, to minimum chances if possible.
And Alison Robbie is at Celtic Park for us. She'll no doubt bring us some team news later in the programme. But we were going over the stats this afternoon, Alison, before you headed off. No clean sheet in any of their last five home games against Kilmarnock.
No, six if you include a cup game as well. The last time Kilmarnock came to Celtic Park and didn't score a goal was October 2009. And of course, remember, Kilmarnock came here last season and won 2-0. I think it was Killian Sheridan and Liam Kelly that scored the goals that day, so they've done it before.
They're making a big thing of this, Celtic, trying to get punters through the gates tonight. Obviously a rearranged midweek match against Kilmarnock. Any insight as to how many might turn up?
No idea at all at the moment. It does look like the top tier is open tonight, so I think they're expecting a decent crowd here. As you say, it is a Wednesday night, this rearranged game, which was from the weekend that they decided to go to Turkey for their winter break. So it remains to be seen at the moment, because as you can imagine, there's absolutely no fans here yet.
And James Forrest back in the squad?
James Forrest is back tonight. He, of course, missed the game on Sunday through injury, but it comes a bit too soon for Adam Matthews. He's due to resume training next week. He's, of course, out with a calf injury at the moment. It's been a bit of a nightmare season for him between his shoulder and his calf. He's missed quite a lot of games through injury. Then you look at Kilmarnock, they've got a couple of players out. Jack Snervin, of course, can't play because he can't play against his parent club Celtic. Alexey Eremenko is in the squad, but given that he's not match fit, I don't think he will play too much of a part tonight.
Okay, Alison, as we said, it is rather early for team news, so we will come back and speak to you very shortly.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Alison Robbie at Celtic Park, 0141 951 1025, the number to give us a call this and every evening, Monday to Friday, here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And again, of course, when we open up the lines on a Saturday afternoon, we're back with you this Saturday from 2. John's our first caller tonight. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Evening, John. Fine, thank you.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, John.
Hi. My question really for the panel, sorry, that's my phone going off, is we've heard sort of through the transfer window about sort of Celtic having this huge budget and we're going to spend £5-6 million on a striker and everything else that goes with it. And then we've got the opportunity right now to get Lee Griffiths, who, okay, maybe not a £5 million striker, but he's a prolific goal scorer. He's proved it at Premier League. All the stats go with it. But they seem to be penny pinching. Why don't they just... I'm not saying go right out and give Wolves the money, but Wolves are looking for, like... Well, it's meant to be said that they're looking for, say, £1.4 million. But Celtic going with, like, £400,000. You know what I mean? I just wish Celtic have done it for years, and I'm sure they will continue to do it, and I'm sure a lot of teams do it, but it just seems like they're getting back to this penny pinching all the time, where I just wish they would just get them in new and then possibly get somebody else before the window shuts.
Well, you could also, John, look at the Nottingham Forest bid for Lee Wallace, a player who a couple of years ago cost £1.5 million, and Forest have come in with £900,000, which Rangers have confirmed tonight.
Yeah, I know, but well, that's just, I know all the teams do it, and like I said, Celtic have done it for years, but I just wish right at this moment in time they've got a chance to get this guy in and then possibly focus their attention on possibly maybe getting somebody else before the window shuts, instead of just dragging out all the way through it, and then there's obviously the possibility that they might not get him. So I mean, I'm just wishing they would just...
But John, then you would take all excitement away from Jim White and Friday if it was that easy. I'm sure that everybody wants to do their business very quickly, but both clubs, Celtic going at the lower end, Wolves have went in at the high end, and what usually happens is the chief execs, phone calls to meetings or whatever it is, and then they try to thrash out something that's suitable for both parties. And you can't blame Celtic for that. You can't blame Wolves.
No, I don't blame them, to be honest with you, Gordon. Sorry to interrupt you, but I just feel like they're maybe wasting an opportunity to possibly get somebody else.
But they'll be doing that anyway,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
You know, that's no... They don't just put, you know, all the focus on one player. Neil Lennon would have given Peter Lawwell a list, and, you know, it might only be two or three players on that list, or it could be five or six, depending on what he's looking for. But Celtic when you're looking to do deals, particularly from other countries, even if it's down south, first and foremost, you do your homework. And that means that you find out exactly the situation with Lee Griffiths. You find out how far down the pecking order he is. Has he fallen out with the manager? Is there any reason why they're in a hurry to move him? Because all of these things are an advantage to you, John, when you're negotiating. If you know that they want somebody out the door, then of course you're not going to go and give top whack straight away.
No, because
Celtic's got to do their homework properly. And when they do their homework properly, then they'll come up with a figure that they feel is going to be there or thereabouts. And that's obviously the way it's worked out. You would still expect this deal to go through.
Well, I was going to say, do you think Celtic will get him, Jim?
Yeah, I think if Celtic want him, they will eventually. You know, Neil Lennon will maybe get a little bit involved, maybe not so much the money, but you'll be going to me speaking to Peter Lewell and say, listen, you know, how far away are we? And if he says that it's a very, I mean, can we push the boat out? Can we get it done? I really like him. And I think when you're a manager who's got the credibility Neil Lennon has at this moment in time, then Peter Lewell's going to do that. And I think, similarly, you know, Jim was talking about the Notts Forest situation. They've done their homework. They've obviously realised that Rangers have got financial difficulties, and they're trying to take advantage of that. But listen, Rangers done it when other clubs had financial difficulties, when Rangers had plenty of money, just that the boots on the other foot.
Every club does it, Jim.
Yeah, of course, as I'm saying.
You look at Chelsea, everybody for does instance. Yeah. Chelsea would matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there'd been any other club, I'm sure another club would have got him a lot cheaper, but yeah. Manchester United come in. And 37 million or whatever.
But I also don't think they were sold to Manchester United last year.
No, with Fergie being there. Yeah, you could be.
And the challenge, the fact is, they don't actually see Manchester United as a significant challengers this year. So they're quite happy to do it. If they were been there or thereabouts, like the couple of clubs you mentioned that started the programme, I don't think there's any way they would have done it.
Yeah, see, the big thing for me, John, is, and there's a lot of people you speak to, are, you know, I've got the 50-50 feeling about this, Lee Griffiths. Now, I'm not doubting Lee Griffiths' ability. I think he's got tremendous ability. I think he'll come to Scotland and I think he would score goals. I think he would improve. He's 23 years of age. Yes, he's had his problems off the park. I wouldn't worry about that. I'm sure a manager can deal with that. Is he the sort of player that Celtic need just now? Is he the one that we talk about? Because everybody's talking this show, every person that's went to watch Celtic supporters phone in and say, we need a box player, a Gary Hooper now. Gary Hoopers are very, very hard to find, Jim. In fact, one of the best box players is probably playing against Celtic tonight, and Chris Boyd. But is Lee Griffiths that sort of player that's going to bring something different to the front line? I don't know.
I don't think he'll bring anything different, Gordon, but what I think is he does have a proven record. Like some of these other players that Celtic have brought in, like your Bobo Baldies and your Pookie, they've no proven themselves in anywhere, really, for that matter, apart from maybe like some Finland or whatever. But this guy has, if this guy can score 20 odd goals for Hibs, with the, no disrespect to Hibs, but I'm sure Celtic can create more chances for
The only thing I would say, John, I wouldn't look at any other league and put it down below the Scottish league. Let's be honest. I mean, if you're scoring goals in Finland,
exactly,
Norway, Belgium, anywhere, you know, those leagues are every bit as strong, if not stronger in some cases, than the Scottish league.
I don't mean like that, but they're saying that Baldy and likes of Pookie and a few other guys are like what's going to be for the future.
Yeah, potential, yeah.
Is he better than Anthony Stokes? Is he going to be a regular in the team? Because if you look at Celtic now, Stokes will play and Commons plays off him. Now, I think Commons would do the same job.
I think he's a slightly different player for Stokes.
Stokes
is a goal scorer, but he's not a mover. Whereas I think Griffiths runs more at people than what Stokes would do.
I think there's something else you can argue with where you think he's good enough or not. But he brings goals in the SPL. There's no doubt about that. He proved it with Hibs. He's got a terrific left foot in him. He scores a range of goals. He scores spectacular goals. He's quick. He's lively. He drags people around. He can play up as a lone striker with someone off him. But it's another option for Celtic, and I think that's all they're looking for. It's another player with potential. Where they can realise that potential to a huge value will remain to be seen, as will Pookie and as will Baldy, because they're all players with potential. But I suppose maybe Neil Lennon and Celtic are looking and thinking, well, if we can't get that £5 million guy, as we say, the kind of guaranteed, then what we'll have is we'll have real competition with young players. And if they put them in for a couple of games and then put the other one in for a couple of games, it keeps them all on their toes, keeps them ticking over, and they all should score a significant number of goals in Scotland.
You touched on two guys who paid a lot of money for. I quite liked the way Pookie came on the other day there. I thought his touch was very good against Hibs, Jim.
Great goal.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got to look at a goalkeeper. Take nothing away for the boy. I think the boy deserves it, to be honest. I think he deserves a wee bit of luck. But I thought his touch was good, his movement was good, he looked a bit more confident. You bring Griffiths in and Stokes stays, Commons is there, Pookie, then where does Baldy and the new lad that they brought in January, and Neil Lennon said that it wasn't a work in progress, he was here now for a future, for the present, sorry. So all of a sudden, for that maybe one position, because Commons will always probably play it. you've got about five or six strikers in there. It's some competition for the SPFL.
John, thanks very much for your call tonight. What do you think? 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Sun Plus Goals. The first place to see every Barclays Premier League goal on the go.
We've got to get something for the game. You see how tight the league is, so it's really important we try and pick up something. You can see how good they are, full of confidence. They've got a lot of consistency as well. But we know it's quite anything's possible in football. We've got to go and try and get something. It's going to be difficult. Celtic have got top players. And for us to get anything out of the game, we've all got to play to our maximum.
Kilmarnock manager Alan Johnson ahead of tonight's game at Celtic Park. Alison Robbie will bring his team news from there in due course. You can give us a call tonight on the usual number, you know it by now, 01419511025. Let's go back on the lines. Jimmy's in Knightswood. Hi, Jimmy.
How you doing, guys?
Hi there, Jimmy.
How's the night? Okay.
Not
Hi,
bad, Jimmy. Not bad,
good.
Jimmy.
Lee Wallace.
Yes.
Known many times, known my Gears fan, Jim. How doing you, Jim, there as well? Aye.
Jim, yes, Duffy, Jimmy. And Gordon,
yeah. I can't believe when I read in the papers today in the ongoing Sky News that Graham Wallace has put a £1.4 million figure on Lee Wallace. He's worth £2 million easy. He's the best Scottish left-back in Britain just now. But I just feel that Mr Wallace, I know he's trying to cross-cut, but I think he underestimates the power of the Rangers fans. If he undersells us and underchanges us by selling a guy like Wallace. Jim, me and you had a wee discussion, Jim Duffy, me and you had a wee discussion a couple of weeks ago about Rangers being able to compete in championships next season, and I mentioned one team, Falkirk, and you poo-pooed my idea, and you said that Falkirk, when I say Rangers are going to come up maybe possibly against a team like Falkirk, and you said, have you seen Falkirk, blah blah blah. Falkirk's pushing for promotion, Jim.
No, I don't think I said it like that. I think you were rubbishing something, and I just asked you a straightforward question. Well, you said that they were dating, and I said, have you seen Falkirk? Simple as that. And you said,
well,
no.
So
you hadn't seen them, mate, and you've still not seen them.
It doesn't really matter, Jim. I'm getting to the same point. Is the squad that we've got the new isn't it going to be able to compete properly in the championship? And I think that's been proven. I've been on weeks and weeks saying it, and I'm still getting Big DJ and sometimes yourself and that, and Mark Goody is the only one that's agreed with me. You know, the fact of the matter is, if we let Lee Wallace go, right, then that doesn't put a good message to us Gers fans. We've been putting our hands in our pockets the last 18 months, and it's no a never-ending goal for us. We can't just keep putting money in. If Mr Wallace thinks that we're selling players like Lee Wallace to try and get the debt down and put the season tickets up 20% next season, then he's in for a big a lot of trouble next season, because we're only going to see Rangers. The team, did you see Rangers any Rangers game on Saturday, Jim?
Against the Broth? No, I didn't know.
So, well, I'll tell you one thing, mate, I'd be better watching the paint dry. 3-2. Was it a controversial penalty? I wouldn't say controversial, but I'll tell you what, I've seen them no being good. And we're beating a team as rubbish as a Broth, 3-2, in front of 40,000-odd fans at Ibrox, and Graham Wallace is trying to sell one of probably our best asset.
Jimmy, can I butt in just for a second? Because I want to pick you up on one point, right? You obviously, you're a diehard Rangers supporter, you go to all the games, you see Rangers a lot more than me. You touch on a point there that we'll not do it in the championship because we need to spend more and we need to bring in more players. That's what you're touching on there.
Yeah.
Now, I look at the Rangers side, and from Cammy Bell to McCulloch to Daly to Law to Black to Templeton to Shields, if they don't sell Wallace, Stephen Smith, who's been there, Foster, who's played with Aberdeen, they're all guys that have played in the top level of Scottish football, so surely they're good enough to play in the championship.
You're not going to tell me that Ian Black's a top level player.
In my opinion, no, I'm not going to tell you that. But Ian Black played with Hearts, Boster Cup final against Hibs. Rangers went out and paid a lot of money in wages to sign him. So Rangers think he's a top player.
We need the truth, Daz, right? We need the truth before. I mean, it's all right, I know we're going in the past, we didn't know the faces of directors, let alone the names. But now we're in a situation, we need the truth before we start having to put our horns in our pockets again. And I know there's a financial crisis, right, come looming, but we need to know exactly why we're having to sell players. We know that there's a big gulf, but where is the money going? No use messing about with this IPO situation, we all know about that. But, I mean, if you think that the Rangers team, on paper, yeah, the Rangers team should do well in the championship. We will only do well in the championship next season, Daz. No, there's no...
I can't understand that, Jimmy. You need to explain that to me. How? Listen, you've got guys that are internationals in your team. You've got guys with bags of experience that have won trophies, like, say, McCulloch's and Wallace's and people like that. You've got a guy, John Daly, who was one of the best centre-forwards in the SPL a couple of years ago and still be able to do a job. You've got young guys like Lewis McLeod, who everybody says is going to be a top, top player. Little, who is a squad player, who's an internationalist as well. I just can't understand how you can say, well, we can't do well in the championship. I'm sure Jim Duffy wouldn't mind getting into the championship with that squad.
But you, with all due respect, Daz, you're telling everybody you're a mullible man. Now, many times have you seen Rangers this season apart from television?
I've seen them about three or four times.
Jimmy, that's my argument. My argument is you've seen Rangers, but you haven't seen the opposition. So how can you compare Rangers with the opposition? Just ask the, listen, you asked me a question. How can you compare Rangers with opposition you haven't seen?
Because I go to see them every week and I'm a
But you haven't seen the opposition.
But, no, Jim, you're missing my point. We're playing up against a Joiners, cabinets,
it doesn't matter what their occupation is. If you're better than the opposition, then you will win the league. If you're not better than the opposition,
well, no.
You've no idea because you've never seen them.
But you're naming guys like Lewis McLeod. We know he's going to come good. But Ian Black,
listen,
Ian Black's not even a player.
Football is all about whether you, as you're quite rightfully saying, it's about opinions and whether somebody thinks a good player or not a good player. The argument, Jimmy, isn't whether you think they've got good players or better players. The argument is, can Rangers afford not to sell Lee Wallace? That's the argument. I understand what you're saying. If they sell their best players, how do the fans react? That's a perfectly viable point to make. But if Graham Wallace is looking at the books just now and the amount of money they're losing each month, and he says, well, wait a minute, he's already went to the players and proposed a 15% wage cut, which they've turned down, so he's now looking to save about £1.5 million. So he's, the only way he can do that, unless there's cuts, is to maybe take one hit, and that one hit has to be the one who's worth the most money, and at this moment in time is Lee Wallace.
Well, is he gambling, Jim?
No,
Is he gambling?
I don't know, because he's saving what he's looking at is keeping everyone else.
No, my point of gambling is the fact that
How's the reaction with the fans?
No. 10 days ago, 10 days ago, he got the manager of the club and he got the captain and says, look, can the players take wage cuts, right? Because we need to save money. Yeah. Three days before the transfer window closes, he's been offered £900,000. Yeah. Whether Lee Wallace decides to go, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. He's knocked that back and he's trying to hold out for 1.4. Yeah. Is he gambling?
Yeah, of course it's a gamble, because they might turn around and say, we're not going to pay anyone. That's what I'm saying. That's where Forrest will have done their homework as well.
Yeah.
But if the window closes
on Friday night,
and Lee Wallace is still there.
And there's been no wage cuts.
There'll be no wage. Yeah. Now, plus the fact, Lee Wallace will be on a good wage, right? Get some off the wages, and they get £900,000 or £1 million, for instance. Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll then have to make other cuts as well. But it might not be as severe as 15% to all the staff. It might be 5%. Or it might be some other areas that they can maybe look to cut back on. But in this moment in time, I don't think Graham Walsh has got too many options left. And I think if Rangers would have done that the last time around, when they had financial difficulties like Alan McGregor and Stephen Davis and Stephen Naismith, etc., if they'd have sold them, then they might not have been in the position they currently are at the moment.
Yeah, but you've got to look at it for a player sitting in the dressing room, thinking, do you know what? They're getting cuts everywhere around Ibrox here, and we've got a chief exec who's taking a gamble of losing £900,000 plus wages.
Yeah, but if Lee Wallace might see that, I know he might think, wait a minute, what's next? So therefore, he might think now is maybe the right time for me to move, because if I'm the first, but there's more to come, the team's going to be weaker. I might not be, you know, playing with so many good players, if you want to call it that, in which case it might affect his games. It might be time for him to go as well.
And if Lee Wallace, no disrespect, right, and I know a lot of Rangers supporters are bumping arms at this, you're going to a club that's got a chance, a real chance, to get into the top league, Jim. and he'll make himself a lot of money as well. And I know that Rangers fans don't want to lose Lee Wallace because he is the best player they've got by a country miles.
I agree.
But Lee Wallace has got to look at his career here.
But they've got to look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture isn't the team at this moment. The league's won this year. The biggest picture is to get to the end of this season, Daz. No worry about the championships next year. Get to the end of this season. And to do that, they need to cut costs or bring money in. The only way they can bring money in is by selling top players.
And is the bigger picture the return of Craig White, as suggested by a famous Channel 4 blogger this afternoon?
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davey Proven and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Call the only football phone-in for Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Get involved with the Scottish Sun. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yeah, don't forget that every day is payday with Clyde One and ArnoldClark.com. At the moment, you can still win your share. You have to be on the payroll. Text PAY to 61025. We'll send you a unique payroll number. The text costs 25 pence. Plus standard network rate. And then you have to listen to Bowie tomorrow morning at 8 for your chance to take home £2,000. Full terms and conditions at ClydeOne.com, where you can also enter for free. Let's take a call. And Ricky's on the line. Hi, Ricky.
Good evening, panel.
Evening, Ricky.
Hi, Ricky.
Louis Walsh would be proud. Cracking boy band name, you guys. JJ and Daz.
Oh, yeah. Terrific.
Always Daz is a back singer.
Before I make my main point, if that last caller... Jimmy, if his second name is Miller and he used to work in the post office, please pass my number on to him, because last time I saw him was 20 years ago. If it's not, it doesn't matter.
I don't know, but I'm sure producer David's making notes, okay?
Friends reunited. It's a date
Friends reunited. Celtic, their signing policy again seems to be slipping back into the days of Mr. Kelly, where it was a biscuit tin mentality. Wolves have put a value on Lee Griffiths of £1.25 million. Our first offer was £400,000. I don't know what our second offer was, but I'm sure it wasn't anywhere near £1.25 million. Why do we keep doing this? Why does Celtic continue to do this, where a player is valued down south at X amount, and we go in with a derisory offer and basically look embarrassed because of it? Now, I'm not saying Griffiths is worth £1.25 million, but that's the price. It's like walking into Asda for a gallon of milk. It's a pound, but I'll give you 40 pence for it. It's just, why do we keep doing it?
Because you can. That's the thing in football. I mean, Ricky, you use an analogy, get into a shop, but the shop's a fixed price. But in football, it's not. In football, it's...
Why so short, Jim? If it was 900,000, 1.25?
But if Celtic have to pay what they believe the player's worth, not what Wolves believe the player's worth. Wolves obviously know a club like Celtic have got money. They know that they want the player. They know that the player wants to go there. So they're going to put the maximum amount on that and hope to get as close to that. Celtic are looking
demand.
At yeah, but the bottom line is, as I've said before, Celtic would have done their homework.
What do you want to pay for it?
Well, as I mentioned, Ricky, Celtic would have done their homework, and they would have known how badly the Wolves want to lose this player. Do they want to move him out? And if the answer is yes, it's coming back to Celtic. Listen, Wolves are desperate to move this guy out here. Then they know that there will become a compromise figure somewhere between the 400 and the £1 million, because they know that 1.25 is an exaggerated fee. So they know that somewhere between their opening gambit and £1 million, then that player will become available and will accept Celtic's offer. And that's what Celtic are doing. I don't think it's a biscuit tin mentality. I don't think it's getting back to the days where they're not... Because Celtic have quite actively spent millions of pounds in the transfer market over recent seasons. and made a lot of money as well. It's just it's a policy.
The point is, we've identified one striker, one striker here that we're willing to pay money for, and yet we go in with a derisory offer instead of just getting the deal done. Instead of just, as you say, he's not worth 1.25 million.
Ricky, you're saying he's not worth 1.25 million, but you're saying to your club, just go and spend 1.25 million.
No, well, I'm not saying that. You don't win at 400,000.
Listen, all clubs do. What'll happen here is, I think that Lee Griffiths will come to Celtic, right? And I think they will not pay 1.25 million for him. They'll pay probably
750 grand.
Yeah, maybe 800,000 with add-ons. And I think that Celtic supporters will turn around and say to Peter Lawwell, great job, well done. I think that's the way it'll happen.
If we were to pay the 1.25 million and get two seasons out of him, he's only going to be 25 and he's going to be worth at least 1.25 million. I don't understand the mentality with that. It's all right getting something on the cheap, but if you've identified one striker that you're going to go for, then don't go in at £400,000.
Yeah, but you're going on the seller's value of the player, Ricky. It's not the buyer. Listen, it happens in every walk of life. If you go and buy something, you know, and you walk into a car and it's maybe £9,000 for a car, you're not just going to go, well, look, you value that car at £9,000, they're £9,000. You try and cut a deal.
That's the exact point I'm making. If you value your car at £9,000 and I come into your driveway and offer you £4,000, you're going to get me chased out your driveway.
Yeah, but only if he's not desperate to sell it. You know, what I'm saying is, if you're desperate to sell something, Ricky, if Celtic are fully aware, Celtic will be aware through third parties who will have notified Celtic how desperate Lee Griffiths is, and Wolves will also know that they will risk the turning down, let's just call it 750,000 as a ballpark figure. They risk losing that and having an unhappy player who will not perform for them, who they don't get the best out of, and they also know they don't have another option. See if Wolves have got another club willing to pay the money, then they can go back to Celtic and say, look, Celtic, we've got £1 million on the table, so you either accept it or he goes there. That's not the case.
That's the only bit I don't know, Jim. Are they that desperate to sell him?
Yeah, they are, and the player is that desperate to go.
That
so
for
he's
fact?
Yes.
Right, well, that's something I'm not aware of. You're in the business, as it were, so I'm not aware that they're that desperate to sell.
Ricky, they'll be aware that Lee Griffiths is travelling a lot of times back up to Scotland, obviously to see a few of his kids and his family, and they'll realise that, and they'll realise that the boy wants back up north. It's a great opportunity, Celtic. Can't get a, you know, for Lee Griffiths, you can't get a bigger club. I think he's a Celtic man. I think he would love to go there. But I think Celtic are doing their business the right way. They've went in at the lowest price possible. Wolves have went on at the highest. It's quite simple, Ricky. What they'll do is the two of them will sit down, they'll come somewhere in the middle.
It's called negotiating.
And both parties will end up happy.
Ricky, thanks for your call. 01419511025. We'll speak to Gary next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Super Goals in the Scottish Sun. The best reports, pictures, news, views and star name interviews. 3 times a week.
7:10, give us a call here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard this evening. Lots of football to talk about tonight. Celtic against Kilmarnock, Hearts against St Mirren in the Premiership, and the game down at Capital Morton against Queen of the South in the Championship. Let's go back on the lines, as promised. Gary is there. Hi, Gary.
How are you doing, Jim?
Evening, Gary.
Basically, it was a point about the Newcastle and Norwich game, the stalemate. It was far from a stalemate because I felt we were hard done in, and maybe better finishing, we could have won the game. We hit the bar twice and hit the post. I didn't think Remy should have been sent off either. I thought it was very hard done to, but at the same time, you know, there's a derby match at weekend, and he knows he shouldn't be getting involved like that and leaning his head in, I suppose. But the boy Johnson made a bit of a meal of it.
Well, I must admit, Gary, I disagree with you as far as the sending off's concerned. We've almost seen the highlights of the game, and Newcastle definitely looked like they had more chances, although later on in the match, Gary Hooper smashed one off the bar, so you could have lost it later on, but not taking the chances. But I don't like the fact that Alan Pardew is criticising the Norwich player because he should really be looking at his own player. If his own player doesn't get involved, doesn't put his head into the face of the player, regardless of how much contact, then he doesn't have to say anything about the other player. I think Remy's got to take full responsibility for his actions.
It's a red card,
and I think if he doesn't do that, then I don't think you can argue that that's a red card.
Yeah, Gary, I totally agree with Jim. I know you're a big Newcastle fan, and I don't like the way your manager goes about his business. I seen him on the touchline with Pellegrini, thought he was... And to be fair to him, he came out after it and apologised immediately, but he shouldn't have put himself in that position. You've got to show a bit of respect to a man, what Pellegrini's achieved in the game. And then to come out last night, I would like to see him come out and talk about the football he's played or losing players or whatever it is, and letting fans know what's happening with the club. He just seems to make excuses for me all the time when he loses. When he's winning, he's out there singing everybody's praises, a lot of it his own, I must admit. But I totally agree with Jim. I thought it was a sending off. In the modern day game, I thought it was a sending off.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those situations where Newcastle have been playing well recently, and they've getting the plaudits. But I think managers, we understand that passion is something that fans want to see. Alan Pardew wasn't welcome with open arms when he went to Newcastle, so I think he's trying to show the Geordie fans that he's in amongst them, and he's really passionate, and he wants the team to do well. And sticking up for the team and the players, I can understand the elements here, but there is a responsibility for the players, and Loic Remy, for me, deserved a red card, and rather than say deserved it, then look to switch the blame onto someone else. And I just don't think that was appropriate in the situation, and you'll lose a good player. Although I see you have signed Luc de Jong from Borussia Mönchengladbach, and he's a striker, so you've got someone in as a replacement straight away, so that should be good business for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was obviously going to be my second point. We brought De Jong in, brilliant signing. We've supposedly the fee for the other boy, Clement Grenier of Lyon. Supposedly it's in the region of $8.5 million. It's obviously, they're saying it's undisclosed, but the press talk obviously suggests it would be in that kind of ballpark figure. I think probably Grenier would be the better signing, I think.
He's going to feel at home, that's for sure. Another Frenchman at Newcastle.
Maybe De Jong will be put out.
Gary, I was going to ask you that question before Jim said that. Is Newcastle not producing any homegrown talent there? It just seems to be right down the foreign route.
French, I think it's about 11 French players, I think, they've had in since the last transfer window.
It's a fantastic club with a great atmosphere. I've been there many times, and the supporters are so passionate. They're great. But surely it's a duty. I don't mean it's a duty, but surely you've got to try and produce one or two of your homegrown talent to come through there.
Well, Daz, I mean, the two standouts in the youth department are obviously at St Mirren now, young Conor Newton and Adam Campbell. Campbell's a future number nine, in my opinion. I think, it's great to
play
regular football up here.
Do you not think he's a bit small, and especially down the English league now? If you look at the teams down there, there's a lot of
Ross McCormick's just had a bid of $3.5 million, and he's not the biggest.
Yeah, but
West Ham.
Well, he's a giant compared to Campbell.
I just think in terms of homegrown talent, Stephen Taylor's obviously still in the team, but for me, he's a bit of a bomb scare at times. He gets sent off far too many times, and you're right, we do need to be bleeding in young talent, young Geordie talent, I suppose.
I think Stephen Taylor's still the best of kidology I think I've ever seen for the red card. Remember, he saved it with his hand, and then put his hand in his chest, and then rolled around. If Alan Pardew would have managed, they'd have blamed somebody else for
they'd
that.
They'd have blamed the ball for him.
They'd have probably blamed the striker or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
Somebody hit the ball too hard at him.
Okay, Gary, we'll move on from Newcastle. Thank you very much indeed. Alan's on the line from Stevenson. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Thank you. What would you like to say?
Hi, Jim. Just a wee question for the panel.
Yeah.
My first time caller, so I'm a wee bit nervous.
No, don't be nervous. Welcome to the programme.
Right, thank you. It's about Derek Dryden.
Yes.
why do Rangers try and sign him? For the simple reason, he's not in a club, so he wouldn't cost a transfer fee. He could be in low wages, so they'd be cutting down in wages if they did sell one or two other players. Alan, I've got to,
I always believe that every player should get second chances, and I think Derek Ryden was a terrific talent. He's been around every club, he's trained with most clubs in lower leagues now. He went over to
China.
He's just back, get knocked back from another contract there and now. Listen, everybody can't be wrong about Derek Ryder.
Sometimes
as a manager you look at a player and you think, yeah, he's got terrific talent, but is he worth the hassle that he could bring to the dressing room, to bring to me as a manager, whatever? I just don't, you know, I think if there was something there with Derek Ryder, with the ability he's got, he would have been picked up by now.
He's proven it with Hibs and Celtic.
No, he can score goals, very two-footed, a real goal scorer. I mean, I think he's just second behind Chris Boyd, isn't he?
Third behind, double check that.
It was Henrik Larsson, I think. Mm-hmm. So he's got a terrific goal scoring record, there's no doubt about that. I think he's only 30 years of age, mm-hmm. so he's not past his sell-by date. Very stretch of imagination. But his motivation... It's his motivation, mate, and I think that's what's been missing for him for the last couple of years. He just seems to be demotivated, and I mean, don't get me wrong, if he didn't get motivated, if a club like Rangers come in for him, he'd never be motivated.
I think if he went to a high top team like Rangers, it would maybe perk him up a bit.
I don't think there's a chance. I know where you're saying, and we can touch on his ability. I think there's more to it, Alan. I don't think there's a chance that Alan McCoy would look at Derek.
No, I don't think so. But I think that, you know, the point, Alan, is that he has got the ability. But I think it's been a good couple of years since he's done Edinburgh at all.
Would you take him, Doug?
For me, at my level, of course.
Why don't you ask him? He's doing nothing anyway.
Yeah, well, he was in Alloa, and I spoke to Paul Hartley about him actually, and I think he was expecting to play at a higher level. I think that's as kind as I'll say. Okay. So no, I don't think going from Alloa in the Championship to Clyde in the next level, surely going to Clyde
is better sitting in the house on a Saturday.
Well,
when you can put yourself in the shop window
and
show people.
For you and me, it might be, but certain players will want to play, and I can understand it. If again,
surely going to Rangers is better sitting in the house.
He's not going to Rangers, Alan.
He's got to be invited, mate. And I don't think Alan McCoy's is going to invite him.
Okay, Alan.
Just a thought,
but well done for coming on. Thank you very much indeed. 01419511025. We're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll get team news from Celtic Park.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davey Provan and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. The One. The only football phone-in across Glasgow and the West. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the Scottish Sun.
Team news coming from Celtic Park very shortly, but first, Clyde One news headlines with Leslie.
The Governor of the Bank of England's warning an independent Scotland could have to give up some tax and spend powers to guarantee a currency union to keep the pound. Mark Carney was speaking in Edinburgh after a meeting with the First Minister. Police Scotland's been accused of institutional racism over claims officers in Glasgow failed to investigate a gang attack on an Asian student. A woman's been jailed for life for stabbing a mother of two to death in a Glasgow street in front of her two teenage daughters. Coronation Street star Anne Kirkbride, who plays Deirdre Barlow, has told a jury her on-screen husband William Roach has always been a perfect gentleman around her. He denies sex offences. And Andy Murray says he hasn't got any plans to get married this summer. It's after he joked to a fan on Twitter that he and Kim Sears were getting married right after Wimbledon. That's the latest. More updates on Twitter at Radio Clyde News.
Taking your calls all the way through till 8 o'clock tonight, 01419511025. At halftime on a Saturday afternoon, we introduce a personality in Delahunt's dugout. On a Wednesday night, we give you the chance to hear that again. Tonight, in the dugout, Kenny Miller.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Delahunt's dugout.
Favourite player of all time?
To be honest, it was three. There was Super Ali, Ian Wright and Alan Shearer. The three guys that I used to love watching, obviously being a striker. I looked to other strikers to kind of help me and to see what they'd done and things, and obviously each of them had different attributes. I mean, but for their own, they were outstanding players, great goal scorers, great players for every club that they played for.
Favourite goal of all time?
I'm going to say my England one. I mean, I think you scored goals, I mean, a lot of decent goals, but I think that night, the occasion, playing England at Wembley, everything seemed to come together, and it was like, I look back, I mean, you can, I score a good goal for Scotland with Cyprus, or I kind of hit one and it goes in the top. I mean, you can hit them and they can go Rose Head, or they could go in. Whereas that night, everything was kind of, I knew exactly what was going on, and it all kind of fell perfect and into place, so that's definitely my favourite goal.
First match you went to?
I want to say Rangers Motherwell. The Ibrox, my cousin was a season ticket holder and he took me through.
Favourite footballing memory?
I won't have to say two. One was captain in Scotland for the first time, and second one was scoring the goal in the CIS final when we were down to 9 men. I think that'll always love me for a long time.
Favourite stadium?
Wembley. I've played it a couple of times now. We played in the Carling Cup final, and obviously we played the England game just there, and it's just amazing. Two great big games that we played in, great atmospheres and an amazing arena.
Ronaldo or Messi? And why?
You know, I'm a Messi man, or I was a Messi man. I don't think there's anybody else who can play the way he plays.
Explain the offside rule in 5 seconds.
Two players must be goal side of an attacking player for the player to be onside.
Goal line technology or not?
Definitely. I mean, I've always been against kind of technology coming in there, whether it be stopping it and checking a result, or but if they can get an instant signal into a referee, I mean, it can change games.
Favourite World Cup?
To be honest, I enjoy watching them all. Obviously, being a football fan, you know, maybe one France won, beat Brazil in the final. I've enjoyed watching that, and obviously France winning it when it was in France was good.
Worst dressed teammate?
You know, I don't know. Best dressed besides myself would have been Big Greggsy. He would like to think he'd sell a bit of a clothes horse. We always come. Some of his gear was, he could be the worst and the best on different days.
Favourite pre-match meal?
I normally just stick to maybe toast and beans, scrambled egg as well, maybe in there.
Best player you've played with and against?
I would have to put Paul Lynch right up there. Just, not just for the way he was as a player, but it's how he had a big influence on not just me, a lot of young lads in the Wolves team when he came, were kind of that 20, 21, 22 age, and he was a fantastic player also, but that side of it as well was great for him.
Favourite away ground and why?
I love going to Parkhead when I was at Rangers. I used to love going there. The atmosphere of the Old Firm games are for me second to none.
The Gordon DL question. Have you ever scored a hat-trick?
Yep, I've scored three, I think.
The Fraser Wishart Memorial question. What's your favourite throw-in?
I tell you, Ali used to go on with the Scotland team. He used to have two guys crossing over. The guy who was wider coming into the middle of the pitch, you know, hopefully the objective is you lose your marker on the crossover, round about near the edge of the box, the guy throws it in kind of square and you just turn and smash it at the goal. That was Ali's one. He used to do the Scotland, so he always got me shooting it, so I enjoyed that one.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Delahunt's dugout.
Kenny Miller in the dugout this evening. Coming up on Saturday, the one and only Lorraine Kelly. 01419511025 is the number to get through to Clyde One Super Scoreboard this evening. Gordon DL and Jim Duffy here with me, Jim Delahunt. Let's go back to Celtic Park, where at least I think have some Celtic team news with Alison.
Yep, I do have the Celtic team. It's two changes from that win at Hibs on Sunday. James Forrest is in for Nir Beaton and Timo Pukki comes in for Giorgio Tsamaras. So for Celtic, it's Fraser Forster in goal, a back four of Darnell Fisher, Effie Ambrose, Virgil van Dijk and Emilio Izaguirre. In the midfield, James Forrest, Scott Brown, Joe Ledley and Charlie Mulgrew, with Chris Commons playing just off the lone striker of Timo Pukki. On the bench for Celtic tonight, it's Zaluska, Johansson, Beaton, Tsamaras, Berichter, Baldy and O'Connell. Still waiting on the Kilmarnock team, but I know that Alexei Eremenko won't feature tonight now. He's yet to get international clearance.
And still being reported tonight, Alison, that Wolves and Celtic continue to discuss Lee Griffiths.
Yes, and Wolves have tonight reached agreement with Coventry for the transfer of striker Leon Clark, and surprisingly, Lee Griffiths retweeted that little bit of news.
There you go.
I think we mentioned that off-air, Jim, that you know, we knew that Wolves were negotiating and maybe they wanted to bring someone in before they they sanctioned the Lee Griffiths move.
And so you said there, Alison, we won't be seeing Eremenko.
No, no international clearance as yet. I know he wasn't fully match fit, but I think Alan Johnson had hoped to include him in the squad and give him a little bit of time tonight, but it'll be the weekend. I think they're playing, Kilmarnock play Ross County at the weekend, so he could feature against County.
OK, more from Alison later. Thank you very much indeed for that. Trying to get the crowd warmed up at Celtic Park this evening. Let's go back on the lines. Willie's in Cumnock. Hi, Willie.
Hi Jim, how you doing? I was really anxious to know the Celtic team, you know what I mean? I've got a couple of points with my own team, but first of all, Gordon might not remember, but I told Gordon, I'm going to disagree with Jimmy as well, but I told Gordon before we played Forfar in the Cup, I don't know if you remember, Gordon, wouldn't get through that round, and you were adamant, oh aye, we will, because of this, blah blah blah. I says, we're having to go at the signings because of the embargo at the time. Mm. And okay, it went to extra time, but ultimately, the only game we lost this season was up at Forfar. It's a hard place to go in the first place, although it went to extra time.
Yep.
And what Jimmy's saying, I agree with some of it, but I don't think we'll struggle in the Championship. I mean, we've won this league at a canter. We won last season at a canter. But again, the fans weren't happy because some of the schoolboy mistakes, inexperience, blah, blah, blah. And it was murder to watch. I mean, half the time we were bursting out laughing. It was that pathetic. But you're a fan, so you go. Mm-hmm. You're going to go no matter what to support your team. I'm looking forward to the night's game with Man City and Spurs. That's coming on shortly. But Lee Wallace, I know he doesn't want to leave Ibrox. He's the only player we've got. He's the best player by far. But he's done his job for Rangers. Give him a chance now. If he can get a decent move to England with decent money and further his career, he's lost his Scotland place. You know, he's sacrificed a lot for us. We've got Stevie Smith there that can step into his shoes. It's not as if he's going to be a total loss. And Stevie Smith was a good player. He was unfortunate with injuries in his first term at Ibrox. But he can step into that position now, and I don't think he would be that much of a loss. Yeah. What do you think yourself?
Well, I will agree with you, and it's good to hear the fact that, yeah, we all understand that Lee Wallace is a big, big player for Rangers, and, you know, the fans would be really disappointed if he had to leave. But for the boy himself, he's got to look at his own future. There'd be an opportunity to go down and play in a real, real tough league in the Championship, if he went to Nottingham Forest. He would probably double his salary as well, and there was an opportunity to get into the English Premiership. And I'm delighted you said that. I know a lot of fans will probably disagree with you, saying, no, we've got to keep our best players here. But it's going to be a minimum of an hour, two seasons before Rangers get back there. What sort of a financial state will Rangers be? Will they be challenging? Lee Wallace has got to look after his own career. He's got his Scottish career to look after as well. So I think for a boy, he's got big decisions to make. And he has been loyal to Rangers because he could have walked away as well. And he's went through the lowest tier of Scottish football with Rangers. He's never let them down. He plays all the games he can. And he's been a tremendous performer for them. It's up to the boy now to see where he thinks his future is if Rangers do a deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Gordon. I mean, he has sacrificed a lot for us. We know he is a Rangers man, although he was at Hearts. He wants to stay and help the club get back into the Premier League. But he has sacrificed a lot. And although he looks out of this world in our league and all the rest of it, no doubt his career has certainly suffered. Obviously, his Scotland career has suffered. And the fact that we've got Stevie Smith there, it's going to bring money into the club as well, providing that Graham Wallace is allowed, you know, to do the right thing with the money. Mm. And it's not going to be frittered away with what's happened before with the other board members. The fact now that Brian Stockwood is away, he's not going to be there to waste the money. And we'd like to think that we can trust this Graham Wallace, everybody else.
Well, it's going to help the cash flow, Willie.
You know, it's all been good stuff that we've heard. And he's going to sell this 120 days to get the thing sorted out.
Yeah, but this is part of that 120 day investigation into the everything that's happening. He said himself he has to have a good look at it. He brought in an independent financial guy to have a look at things. And obviously, Brian Stockwood has since left. He's got to cut costs, as he said. He's got to make sure that there's no further losses of revenue and finance, and also to bring money in. But you know, again, I think alarm bells might have rang for Lee Wallace. You're right, he doesn't want to leave Rangers. He's happy at Rangers. He enjoys his football, but he enjoys being part of Rangers. But alarm bells might have rang for him when he was asked to take another a wage cut up, you know, and he knows that that's not going to go away, you know, that something has to happen there. So he might just think, well, you know, what's further down the line? And I mentioned earlier on, Willie, I think it's important for Rangers to look at the situation now. I don't think they can afford to look beyond now. They can't look 4 or 5 months. If they can manage to cut costs, if they can manage to get the books balanced and a bit healthier financially, then they might be able to regroup again and bring in some players in the summer to help them in the Championship. They might well be able to do that. But first and foremost, they have to stop leaking the amount of money that they're currently doing.
The only thing I'll say about Lee Wallace is every footballer will tell you, Willie, you want to play at the highest level you possibly can. Lee Wallace is far too good for League One. He's far too good for a Championship. There's no doubt in my mind on that. He's got to try and play at the highest level. The Championship in England is a very good level. If we go to a club that's challenging for the playoffs and automatic promotion, a chance to get into the English Premiership, which is, for me, the best league in Europe, Jim. And I just think there's an opportunity there for a boy to go and do that. And if that's the case, then I think he's got to go and do it.
But has he shown that ambition so far, Jimmy? He chose to stay at Rangers. Yeah. I know he's got a club that he coaches himself, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he wants to go anywhere. But I think the alarm bell might have been rather loud this morning when he read in his morning newspaper that Rangers were willing to take 1.4 million.
Yeah, I think once you put a figure, Jim, then that's telling you that the club's prepared to sell you. You know, you'll hear a lot of managers and a lot of clubs saying the player's not for sale. Everybody knows that, of course, every player's for sale. It doesn't matter if you're Gareth Bale, somebody can bring us 100 million euros, you're going. So, but what you do is you say he's not for sale, and then you wait and get the highest bid. But once he's put that 1.4 valuation, then Lee Wallace is obviously straight away. You're saying, well, wait a minute, and there's no reason why Notts Forest won't pay that or very, very close to it. And as I said, and they might turn around and say, look, we'll pay 1.2, but what we'll do is we'll give you another $500,000 if we get to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. So there's a, you know, that from Rangers they might make money out of that. And also, as Gordon had said earlier, they lose his wage. He's on a decent wage there. All in all, that might just be the difference, Jim, between any other, you know, going to the players, allowing Ali McCoy to just concentrate, as Willie had said there, whether it's Stevie Smith, Ricky Foster, whoever else, who they can concentrate. The league's all but done, you know what I mean? And it's not going to February.
But I think Jim touched on a very important point, Duff. Yes, if they come in, I think Nottingham Forest can afford that money for Lee Wallace, no problem. And I think they'll eventually get near it. I think the decision, it'll be a massive decision, would probably come down to the player. Now, if you ask me if I think Lee Wallace would go to Nottingham Forest to improve his career, further his career, with a chance to move on, a tremendous club. I've been down there and seen the facilities and everything about Nottingham Forest. A great, great club under a good, very, very good manager, let me say. I don't know if he's a certainty to go.
No.
I think as you touched on, I think he likes life here. He likes being at Rangers Football Club. It's a massive, massive club. So I don't know if he's 100% stick on that we go.
Yeah, I agree, because as Jim had mentioned, if that had been the case, if he would just have been motivated by football and ambition, he'd have left 2 seasons ago.
Yeah. But surely it's somebody at Rangers, and you've hinted at this, Jim Duffy, somebody has to play hardball.
Would
you mind taking a pay cut? They've said no. All right, that's fine. Why don't they go to Lee Wallace and say, we need this money, you're going?
Well, Jim,
Simple as that.
If it gets to the stage where they accept the fee, but Lee says, listen, I really don't want to go, then that's when the emotional blackmail will come into play. There's no question. Graham Wallace, Alan McCoy, they'll sit down and say, listen, Lee, you know, unless you go here, we will have to enforce cuts. It might be people in the office, it might be people in the backroom staff, it might be people in the youth department, but we will have to enforce cuts. If you go, we can keep all of those people at the level of salary they're currently on and in their jobs for the foreseeable future.
Well, I would.
You'd be a hard man if you turned around and says,
I don't think the manager would get involved in that, Jim. I don't think because do you know why?
Somebody has to.
Listen, I think Graeme Wallace would maybe try it, Jim, but I don't think.
Why would the manager not get involved if you know the player?
Well, I'll tell you why I don't think. Because I don't think the manager would put that responsibility on his player who stood by the club, was loyal to the club when he could have easily left, and turn round now and put pressure on him saying, well, I'll tell you what, if you don't leave, we're all in trouble. This shouldn't land at Lee Wallace's door.
No,
the manager of the club would understand
happen.
That.
But it does happen, it does. It's happened.
I've had to do it. I think Graeme Wallace would have a go, but I do not think Alan McCoy's, because of the loyalty. And you remember, Alan McCoy's come out in the paper not that long ago and says, I'm not selling players.
The club is bigger than Alan McCoy's than anyone else. If he has to protect 99 out of 100, and one out of 100 has to, you know, be sacrificed, a sacrificial lamb, then he has to do it. Daz, I've done it myself. Said to Jim, Stevie Lovell, when I was at Dundee, did not want to go to Aberdeen. Stevie Lovell actually said to me he would take a 50% wage cut to stay. Aberdeen were doubling his wages from Dundee, and he still said he didn't want to go. And I went to Stevie, I said, Stevie, if you don't go, I'm going to have to, not me personally, but the administrators are going to have to let other people go. They're going to have to make more cuts. People are going to lose their jobs. People in the office. And it was emotional blackmail, and I totally 100%, I'm honest with that. And Stevie grudgingly said, right, okay, if that's the case, I'll go to Aberdeen. He went to Aberdeen, and he had a torrid time up there. Him and Jimmy Calderwood did not go on. He didn't enjoy living in Aberdeen.
And take into consideration
he didn't want to be there. But what he did was he protected the club staying full time at the end of the season. And sometimes,
but you've got to take into consideration as well, Jim, he'll go home, whether he's married or not, I know he's got a kid, and he can sit down with his family, and his family decide, look, I don't want to go to Nottingham. So I'm sorry, I understand what you're saying, and you're 100% in the points, but this shouldn't land at Lee Wallace's door, because he's the best player. And secondly, I don't think, if it's a joint decision with his family, and after what happened 2 years ago, I'm not thinking that Lee Wallace will be, sorry for expression, bullied into going in to Nottingham Forest.
Willie, thanks very much for raising the point. 01419511025. What do you think? Give us a call. We're here till 8. Jerry's next.
Text Clyde One Super Scoreboard now. 61025. Start your message with SSB. Text to 25p plus network rate. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with the Scottish Sun.
Alison Robbie's already brought us some team news from Celtic Park, the Celtic lineup, and maybe a surprise in the Kilmarnock lineup, Alison.
Yeah, there's no Chris Boyd in the starting lineup for Kilmarnock tonight. He starts on the bench, and it's William Gross who comes in for him. I spoke to him last week, and he was frustrated that he wasn't getting many starts because Chris Boyd was so prolific. So he's getting his chance tonight at Celtic Park. So Kilmarnock make two changes because Jackson Irvine can't play either. He's, of course, on loan from Celtic. They've got Samson in goal, a back four of Clossie, Pascali, Ashcroft and Tesselaar. In the midfield, Kilty, Klingon, Slater and McKenzie, with Muirhead playing just off Gross. On the bench, they have Ruggiero, Nicholson, Boyd, Johnson, Maximenko, Gardine and O'Hara. And your referee tonight at Celtic Park is Brian Colvin.
That's great, Alison. Thank you very much indeed. Surprised or not, Jim Duffy, no Chris Boyd?
I'm surprised if Kilmarnock were going to go there and try and win the game, Jim. That tells me they're not. That tells me that he's looking at the weekend, and that his priority game is the weekend and not tonight. Tonight it's about saving face, keeping it tight. Gross will go and work a bit, maybe a little bit more muscular in terms of how he goes and puts himself around. He's maybe thrown down the gauntlet and said, well, you're going on about playing. Here's your chance against top class players. But I think it's more about containment tonight, and Alan will probably realise, listen, my bigger fixture is at the weekend, and then Chris Boyle will be back in. So yeah, a little bit of surprise to start with, but I think when you look at it realistically, I think that's what he's looking at.
I think you've been very nice here, Jim, because you're in management, you've got to watch what you say. I'm very fortunate I'm not in management at this moment in time. That beggars to belief for me. It really does. I understand what Jim's talking about, look at the weekend. If I'm a Kilmarnock supporter and I'm travelling up there to pay money to watch my team, and I hear that news, I would turn around and go back home. I think that's unbelievable, John. You've got a guy who is in the top of his form. He's the best finisher in Scotland by a country mile. He's scoring goals.
Yeah,
for
I'm going to say that. Chris Commons, I think, might argue with that.
Chris Commons just now is on fire, but I'm talking about overall. Chris Boyd is the best finisher in Scottish football by a country mile. So you go to Celtic Park tonight and you're hoping to get even a draw or get a goal or whatever it may be, and you're leaving that guy on the bench, that spells everything out for me. And I can understand saying, well, all the concentration is on the weekend. Well, why not go and have a go tonight if you're already conceded the fact that you're not going to win the game anyway? That baffles me, that decision.
Well, there's a couple of things. One, I think, to save his legs, if he's going to be there. Now, you've got to remember, if he's going to be there, there may well be something
to suggest
that he might be away over the next 2 days. And that might be another reason, because he may have the discussions with Chris, and he's thinking, well, I mean, I'm not going to be here. I've got a decent move coming up, and therefore, you know, they really want to risk an injury.
If that's the case, Jim, then I would apologise live in here to the manager. If it's not the case, then I stand by what I said.
Yeah, I just, as I said, I just think if Chris Boyd is going to be there at the end of the season, that for me would be the only reason you would leave him out. And the fact is, you just don't think you're going to see enough of the ball. He's not going to be, you know, too influential in the game until perhaps, if you're 0-0 with 20 minutes to go and you think, well, we could throw him on, then maybe. But I think that's the only reason, Gordon. Two reasons. One, he's got a move on, or two, he's looking at the bigger picture, which is the important games at the weekend.
That sounds, Alison, maybe one for later, Chris Boyd.
Yes, I will be speaking to Alan Johnson after the match, and I will find out exactly what his reasoning is. Is it because of the game on Saturday and they think, not that it's more important, but the more chance of taking a result, maybe he thinks. But it's either that, or there has been interest in Chris Boyd, and Alan Johnson has said in recent weeks, I spoke to him, he said that he would do everything he could to try and keep him beyond January, but he admits and accepts there will be a lot of interest, and at the end of the day, it's down to the chairman.
Yeah, and I dare say, Neil Lennon, Alison, not only asking questions, but answering questions about Lee Griffiths tonight. You've probably seen on Twitter as well, the latest rumours are Fraser Forster, Everton, yep. Scott Brown, Stoke City.
Yeah, of course, there will be interest. Fraser Forster expected, Scott Brown to Stoke as well was, of course, one you said. I'm not sure about that one, but the manager doesn't like speaking about speculation, but there's only a few days left till the end of the transfer window, and he's so keen to hold on to all these players for the rest of the season. And Fraser Forster, he said many times, is going nowhere.
Yeah, and that's, Alison, as you well know, all he has to say tonight. Yeah. Okay, Alison, thanks very much indeed. Alison bringing us the team news from Celtic Park, just coming up to 7:30. Let's go back on the lines. We'll speak to Jerry in Erskine. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good evening, boys.
Evening, Jerry.
That is odd about Boyd. I wonder if maybe he's got a wee appointment at 10 o'clock, Mr. Lowell's office, you know. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, Mark Guidi anyway, would welcome him.
If it's anything to do with Mark Guidi, he'll certainly be there.
Because I know you mentioned it earlier on this week about him going to Celtic, but
right.
I don't think so. Anyway, I'm on about Celtic frontmen and some Celtic signings in general. Now, when Big Stokes got suspended for the Hibs game, I fully expected Neil Lennon to give Big Baldy a shot. Now, he's been in, we're on the cusp of February, and he's not played a competitive 90 minutes at any stage since August. You know, so this is now, as I say, almost February. I don't know who coined the expression "work in progress." I don't know if it was Mark himself or he heard it coming out of Parkhead, but
Neil Lennon.
Yeah.
With a Neil Lennon,
yep.
I said it.
Yep.
Right. Well, that even strengthens my case then, because how is he going to progress 6 months down the line by getting coming on in the 87th minute, the 91st minute, I noticed in the last 4 weeks, the 83rd minute? You know, bounce games or games on the AstroTurf at Lennox Town is not going to tell Lennon anything. So how is he going to progress if he's a work in progress and he's getting nothing? Now, they had another chance tonight, because Samaras is obviously his head's in the cloud cuckoo land just now, and he still never brought Baldy in. So has he made up his mind about him, or is it a case of he's looking for this record and he's not getting enough trust in him to put him in a first team in
Jerry,
case this unbeaten
Jerry,
record
I think,
goes?
I think looking at the Hibs game on Sunday, when I seen the state of the pitch, I expected Baldy to play, because Neil Lennon came out and made a statement that you will see Baldy when the pitches are poor. Now, there was a perfect example of Easter Road, the pitch I didn't think was in great nick. I totally agree with you, Jerry. I think that Neil Lennon's looked at Baldy. I think he's made up his mind. He doesn't trust him. He doesn't put him out there. He gets on for 2 or 3 minutes. He sees him every day in training. I don't know the fact that Is it anything to do with Lee Griffiths? He's trying to get him. Where does that put Baldy now? He'll be lucky if he gets on the bench. So I don't know. I'll be interesting to see how Pookie does tonight, because I thought he'd come on Sunday. I thought his touch was good, his movement was good, he got a goal. We'll give him a lot of confidence. He's playing in front of a home crowd tonight against Kilmarnock. You're expecting Celtic to make chances. I just wonder how he'll do, but I think that Neil Lennon has looked at Baldy and made his mind up. I don't think there's any doubt in it.
I think it comes down to the balance of the team, Jerry. I think if you look at Commons, Chris Commons is an exceptional player in Scottish football just now. He's playing at the top of his game, and I think he needs intelligence around him. And by that, I mean the movement of players around him, in front of him. And I think because he thrives on that. And I think that Baldy looks as if, I mean, I haven't seen enough of him, so I can't say how much, but he looks as if he's more of a stereotypical, you know, through the middle, and doesn't make those little movements that Commons thrives on. Stokes does it, he drags people around. Pookie does it to a certain extent, makes good movement in and around and down the sides of centre-backs, and that allows somebody like Commons to drop off and play those little passes, and then when defenders are dragged, Commons has got the intelligence to find the space and then the quality to make finishes. So I think it's down to the balance of the team. But I think if you played Baldy, you can't play Commons. But that's for me.
The only thing I would say, Jim, and that, sorry, Jerry, I'll let you in a minute. The only thing I'll say in that is Chris Commons, we all know, isn't a centre forward, right? He's not a centre forward. He's one of these players that he plays off the centre forward, goes and picks things up, creates things and scores goals. Celtic started the game against Hibs at Easter Road, and Commons was the centre forward, out and out centre forward. You look at your bench, you've got Pookie at 2.6 million, Baldy at 1.78 million, the guts of that nearly £4 million, and yet you're playing Chris Commons, a centre forward, before
the game. I don't think there's any argument. They won 4-0, and Commons scored two, and his movement and as I said, the other players' movement. I think the game's evolving. You know, you don't have, you know, a lot of teams don't play with an out and out number nine, if you want to call it that. You know, they play with players that play in that front area. They interchange, and I think, as I said, Commons does that very well. I agree with you that he's not an out and out centre forward, but if needs must, he can play up there. I think that, you know, Jerry, that it's just a case of, I'm really surprised that he hasn't farmed him out and just get games. I mean, Tony Watts went away, obviously scored a couple of goals at the weekend. He's getting a lifestyle education, but he's also getting a football education because he's playing. And I think someone like Emilio Baldy could go to Dundee United, Kilmarnock, you know, I was going to say Hearts, can't be Hearts, Hibs, somewhere where he's going to be playing in the Scottish game, getting used to the Scottish culture, the weather, the pitches, the tempo. And I'm pretty sure one of those clubs would be delighted to take him and give him 3-4 months, £1 million player in their team for very little cost.
The only gamble in that, Jim, is if he goes to, say, for instance, a Hibs
and doesn't do well
and doesn't get a game.
But then you're going to have to know one way or the other, and you're better known quicker than dragging it out for maybe a year or so.
Jerry, thanks very much for your call tonight. 01419511025. Clyde One.
With huge savings on over 15,000 cars, search arnoldclark.com.
Yeah, you can still win your share on Everyday is Payday with Clyde One and arnoldclark.com. You have to be on that payroll though. Text PAY to 61025. We'll send you a unique payroll number. The texts are 25 pence plus standard network rate. Then you have to listen to Bowie tomorrow morning at 8. You could be taking home £2,000. Full terms and conditions at clyde1.com. You can also enter there for free. We'll speak to Laurie next.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Podcast with the Scottish Sun for 7 days of football. Bill Leckie every Monday, the goalie Andy Gorham on Fridays, John Hartson every Saturday, and heart-hitting reaction from Davy Provan and Richard Goff on Sundays. Plus, there's Super Goals, Scotland's best football pullout every Sunday, Monday and Wednesday. Only in the Scottish Sun, official supporter of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen again to Clyde One Super Scoreboard anytime with the Scottish Sun. Search Clyde One Super Scoreboard on iTunes or go to clyde1.com/superscoreboard.
Let's go back on the lines, taking your calls all the way up till 8 o'clock. Two Premiership games kicking off at 7.45, Celtic against Kilmarnock. Full team news from there very shortly indeed. Hearts against St Mirren as well tonight in the Championship. Morton against Queen of the South. As promised though, Laurie's on next time. Laurie.
Jim, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening to your namesake, Mr Duffy, and to Gordon.
Hi, Laurie.
Guys, I'll tell you my point this evening. I'd like to make an observation, and you tell me what your thoughts are on what I have to say. Regarding Celtic's transfer strategy in recent seasons, it's difficult to criticise it because they've spent shrewdly and prudently. They've bought young players with a median age, maybe in their early 20s, and in the case of Ki-Sung Young, Gary Hooper and Victor Wanyama, they've been sold on for vast profits. That, to me, is exercising sound and shrewd judgment in the transfer market. But there's another aspect of that. And I think myself that in the absence of a credible challenge domestically, Celtic, even if they were desirous of spending the much-vaunted £5 and £6 million sums that have been suggested since the start of the transfer window, I would doubt that players with any ambition would be desirous of coming to Celtic to compete in what effectively is a one-horse race. Celtic effectively are victims of their own success, and I think they have a catch-22 situation there. The other wee point I would make is there was an earlier caller who was lambasting Celtic for reverting, as to he put it, going back to the old biscuit tin policy during the Devlin and the Kelly and the White and Grant days. But I don't think Celtic should be held to ransom by teams like Wolves for Lee Griffiths. The caller had suggested that Celtic should unquestionably meet Wolves' valuation. And that, to me, just didn't make sense. So those are my observations, guys, and I would like your own thoughts as to what I've had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right, Laurie, for the most part. Celtic have been down a policy of trying to find young, talented players all around the world for a price they think is reasonable, and then develop them and then move them on for a substantial profit. And they've done that with those players you have mentioned. I think if Izaguirre and Kyle hadn't got injured, they could have well have realised substantial profits on those two players as well. Izaguirre could probably still make a substantial profit. Obviously, Fraser Foster's the other one. I think you know, they bought him for $2 million. I'm pretty sure they would make a handsome profit on him as well. So, but there are obviously a number of young players that they brought in that haven't been successful, and that's always the risk of a transfer policy. But I think you're judged over your profit margins, and as far as I would be concerned, on the pitch and off the pitch, Celtic are well ahead in that factor. The only thing I would say, I don't think it does any harm now and again to go and buy a 31, 32-year-old who can help those players, who can give you that experience straight away. Get back to Lubo Moravchik's situation. They brought him in at 33, I think he was, somewhere about that, and he's exceptional for a couple of years. And sometimes you need, you know, someone who's got a real game knowledge, experience, and particularly in Europe, Laurie, you're right, in terms of domestic, they can't maybe attract some of those players because there isn't a competition. They can't just sign them for possibly 3 games or 6 games in Europe. But what they can do is, I think they can attract still some big names. And I think just even the odd time, a 30-year-old, somewhere between 30, 33, a couple of years at the top level would be an assistance to helping those young players develop, and also, as I say, their game. If you look at Chris Commons, we mentioned earlier, I think he's playing the best football of his career now. What is he, 30 now?
Yeah.
So if Chris Commons became available just now, would Celtic buy him? I would doubt that.
Yeah, Laurie, the point that you make about going out and spending £5-6 million, that's very well, and I'm sure every Celtic supporter who pays for their season ticket at the beginning of the season, puts out a lot of money travelling to the games as well, wants to see the best players available. But it's not just the price tag. You've got to take in the full package. You've got to take in the players' wages over the period of the contract. You've got to take in paying the agents, and when you come with a £5 or £6 million price tag, the agents come very expensive as well, let me tell you. So it's a full package, and you're right, there's not a lot of what I call big name players at the prime of their career would look at Scottish football and think, do you know what, I want to go up there and play with Celtic. Celtic are a massive club, great history of their club, but I just think that the league, you've got to play, and we touched on it with Lee Wallace, I think as a footballer, you've got to play the highest level you possibly can.
Laurie, thank you very much indeed. I'm going to go to Celtic Park and just get an update from Alison. If you are just joining us or just jumped in the car, you might want to know the team. Celtic against Kilmarnock. Alison, Robbie?
Yeah, two changes for Celtic tonight. Fraser Forster in goal, a back four of Darnell Fisher, Effie Ambrose, Virgil van Dijk and Emilio Izaguirre. In the midfield, James Forrest, Scott Brown, Joe Ledley and Charlie Mulgrew, with Chris Collins playing just off the lone striker of Timo Pukki. On the bench for Celtic tonight, Zaliska, Johansson, Beaton, Samaras, Berichter, Baldy and O'Connell. For Kilmarnock, two changes for them as well. Craig Sampson in goal, a back four of Sean Closey, Manny Pascali, Lee Ashcroft and Jeroen Tessela. In the midfield, Greg Kilty, Sammy Klingon, Craig Slater and Rory McKenzie, with Robbie Muirhead playing just off the lone striker tonight of William Gross. On the bench for Kilmarnock, Ruggiero, Nicholson, Boyd, Johnson, Maximenko, Gardine and O'Hara.
Alison, thank you very much indeed. That game about to get underway. The game in the Championship is underway. It was a 7:30 kick-off. It's currently Morton 0, Queen of the South 0. We're back for the last few minutes of tonight's programme after these.
Call the only football phone-in for Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Get involved with the Scottish Sun. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
7:45 kickoffs well underway now. Any goals between now and us saying night-night, we will let you know. But there is a very important game for St Mirren, of course, through at Hearts tonight. Here's Danny Lennon.
They've had three good results there and three very narrow defeats out their last six games there, and a fantastic performance by all accounts on Saturday there. So we know which we're going to face. We're going under there with no illusions that in our mindset fixed that it's going to be a very, very difficult challenge. It's one that I enjoy. We were in Edinburgh 10 days ago. We managed to pick up all 3 points from that, so we'll take good confidence from that, but we certainly won't be complacent.
Well, they've certainly not been complacent, and they've scored early. St Mirren are a goal up in 1 minute. Stephen Thompson, the scorer, Hearts 0, St Mirren 1. Colin's in Easterhouse. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, Jim Gordon.
Hi, Colin.
I was wanting to take Jim and Gordon up on their opinion tonight about the Juan Mata transfer.
Yes, on
yeah, Jim, you said that Juan Mata went to Man United because they don't pose a threat with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. You're right there, but the managers, Pellegrini and Arsene Wenger, mm-hmm. they're going after him, didn't they, because the transfer did go through this mm-hmm. time of the year.
Yep.
Because it strengthens Man United, because mm-hmm. they've played Chelsea twice, mm-hmm. and they need to play Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, for a second time as well. So they're of the opinion that it strengthens Man United unfairly.
No, it's not unfair, but it does strengthen them. But that's Jose Mourinho playing the perfect game. You know, a player he doesn't want, get maximum money for him, mm-hmm. strengthen a team who they don't have to play, who's mm-hmm. going to play his opposition. I think that's brilliant management from Chelsea and from Jose Mourinho. Absolutely brilliant. I think they've timed it to perfection.
So they are. It's a bit of mischief. I mean, mm-hmm. Gordon, you say that he was worth
£37.5 million. No, Colin, I said that if it wasn't Man U, another club would probably have got him cheaper than £37 mm. million. I think the new Manchester United and the situation they were in were desperate to get a player in to please the fans and obviously to start to turn their season round under David Moyes. Yeah. So I think they got as much money as possible out of the transfer deal because it was Manchester United came knocking.
Yeah.
That's why it's come.
Because it just surprises me actually that it went through, because I mean basically Man United took Chelsea's best player for the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Often for £37.5 million. I thought it was a great bit of business.
Yes. The thing is, Colin, I mean, Arsene Wenger was complaining. If memory serves me right, Man City sold Cliche, Nasri and Adebayor all to Man City.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, you know, maybe they didn't at that time think that Man City would be challenging or one of their main challengers. But you know, Cliche and Nasri in particular have been terrific players for them. So, you know, if you get the right offer and you just feel as if you've got enough, you know, better players or you want to change things around, you do that. But in Chelsea's case, I think that they've played their cards to perfection. I think getting 37.5 million and giving Manchester United a top player who will improve them, and they've got Van Persie and Rooney coming back. I think Mourinho knew that. He thinks this will improve them, but we don't have to play them. So take points off Man City, take points off Liverpool, Arsenal, brilliant, and give us a chance to win the title.
I thought it was a great statement when Mourinho said, and Colin touched on it, Mata was probably Chelsea's best player for the last 2 years. Obviously, he doesn't think so now, but I thought his statement was great when he says, do you know what? Disappoints me. I never made him a better footballer.
Good to go, Josie.
Thank you, Colin. As Hearts equalise after 5 minutes, Callum Patterson. Hearts 1, St Mirren 1 in down south. Aston Villa 0, West Bromwich Albion 1 is an early scoreline. Chris Brunt scoring after 4 minutes. So Hearts 1, St Mirren 1. Let's have another call. Who's on the line? Greg's on the line from Motherwell, I think. Hi, Greg.
First time caller.
Welcome to the programme, Greg.
I'm only kidding.
Well, why did you say it?
We're trying to concentrate
on 100 things here, and you crack one like that. On you go.
Right, anyway, I'm absolutely gutted when you can say that Rangers are going to get rid of Wallace and everything else. We've got season ticket sales coming up, and if you start to sell the players, we're not interested. It's a bad move for the board. Just take it in the chin. Go get the season ticket sales, and we'll move on. But if you start selling the team and just...
How do you pay the wages, mate, just now? How do you pay the wages between now and the end of the season?
We're losing £1 million. I mean, we're losing, what is it, £1 million a month or whatever? Mm-hmm. So we sell Wallace, what's that going to do?
Well, it saves you £1.5 million, that's for sure.
Maybe
2 million.
Listen, see what I'm saying is, there's people here with a lot of money, okay? And they're sitting listening to this programme, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks another thousands of Rangers fans' hearts. So just bite the bullet and get your money in there and put it in, and let's make it a really, really, really... What Rangers really need is... it's so passionate... It breaks my heart, and I've not got any money to put in.
But they're not as passionate as you, Greg. If they were as passionate as you, they would put their money in. They're not.
Well, why aren't they? They say, I've got this money, I've got that money. Where are your money? Put it in. They're putting in for it's themselves. It breaks my heart. See, when I was younger, right, I got a season ticket, and David Holmes took me into his office. It was 1986. He took me. I missed a season ticket deadline, and he took me into his office, and he said, "It's okay, Greg." And I gave him the money, and I got a really, really good season ticket that year. Mm. And that was the first year as soon as.
And David Holmes get his money. End of story.
I think it's difficult because fans are passionate, Greg, like yourself, and you're obviously leading there. But, you know, you can hear it. You know, the passion, and it's something that's really important to you. But businessmen don't look at it that way. They look at it from a purely business perspective. And if they think it's worthwhile being involved with Rangers, then they'll invest. And if they don't, they won't. But in the meantime, they need to try and bring some money in. They need to try and make sure they're not losing £1 million a month, and that there is a Rangers there that Rangers fans can buy season tickets for in the summer. And if they don't cut the costs, then that might not be the case.
Okay, Greg, thank you very much indeed. There's been another goal at Villa Park. It's Aston Villa 0, West Bromwich Albion 2, a Fabian Delph own goal. Still Spurs 0, Manchester City 0. Still no goals at Celtic, no goals at Morton, but we've had 2 at Hearts. It's Hearts 1, St Mirren 1. Thank you to everybody who managed to get through on the show tonight. Many thanks to Gordon DL and Jim Duffy. I'll be back tomorrow night at 6 with Mark Guidi and Paul Hartley. Thanks to all of you for listening as ever. Night-night.